According to a recent study by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, there is a connection between substance abuse and mental illness. According to the study, out of about 45 million adults who suffer from mental illness, nearly 9 million suffer from a substance abuse problem. The connection between mental illness and substance abuse is called comorbidity. According to the National Institute on Drug Abuse, 6 out of 10 substance abusers are comorbid. Evidence suggests that general vulnerabilities, involvement of similar brain regions in mental illness and substance abuse, among other factors, are reasons why comorbidity occurs. Heather Coleman, director of the Adolescent Residential Substance Abuse Facility at YouthBridge, says there has recently been a move in the field to treat these issues together rather than separately.
In regular substance abuse treatment, the field has not been research-based. It's been treatment-based, and recently studies have started to come out, usually through SAMHSA or NIDA, that have been trying to put more research emphasis into substance abuse treatment, that there's correlations between substance abuse and mental health disorders, and the field has been moving more towards what's called co-occurring disorder treatment. So it's integrating their mental health issues and their substance abuse treatment rather than treating them separately. Patients would go to a mental health center and be told that, well, you have a substance abuse disorder. We can't help your mental health until you are sober. And then they would go to a substance abuse treatment facility and they would say, well, we don't have counselors here that are trained in mental health. We can treat your substance abuse, but then you'll have to go deal with that somewhere else. So co-occurring disorders treatment is bringing everything together, integrating the treatment, treating the whole client, not just one of their problems at a time. So it's something that the field is changing right now. There's a new certification in Arkansas called co-occurring disorder professional. I actually have that. There's several different levels. There's a bachelor level, a master's level, so you have a letter at the end that designates which level you are. But it's to be able to address some of these issues in treatment.
According to the SAMHSA study, about 30% of young adults 18 to 25 years old suffered from mental illness. That was the highest rate of mental illness among the research demographics. Coleman explains there are several reasons why this could have been the result.
From my mental health background, that is the age when a lot of the serious mental health disorders start being displayed. The schizophrenia, the multiple personalities, those are very rare in the population, but anxiety disorders, depression, they may be emerging at this time, or they may just now be diagnosed. A lot of teens are known for moodiness, or their emotional range is small, or their decision-making is poor. So those are all developmental things that are going on during that time, and 18 to 25 is you're considered an adult now, so magically you should act like an adult. So those are the times when people have insurance, start to get jobs, and they're not expected to behave like a teenager anymore. Also, the anxiety disorders, the depression, they start to be more pronounced at that time because you're at a time in your life where you're supposed to be going to college or going to a career or starting a family. And when you don't do those normal things that society are expecting you to do, they start to notice why. Also, those it's the end stage of brain development, especially for males 18 to 25. Their frontal lobe is still developing at that time. The executive functioning, the decision making, you start to become less impulsive. You start to think through things logically, making long-term decisions, abstract thinking. And if those are stunted, as we say in the substance abuse field, by using drugs at an early age, those things can either A, be delayed, B, be damaged, or sometimes never happen and they go down a path of addiction.
According to NIDA, youths are at greater risk for developing substance abuse issues because their brains have not fully developed. Additionally, the developing brains of teenagers are at greater risk to develop mental illness when substance abuse occurs.
In adolescence, developmentally, is the time for experimentation. That's when most people in life try substances, either alcohol, marijuana, or other illicit drugs. And that's also the most vulnerable time of a adolescents' brain development, when they are forming their emotional state, when they're forming their identities, they're making the peer relationships and their school functioning. And those substances allow foreign chemicals into the brain, and it stops the normal neurotransmitters from forming the proper synaptic connections, the proper chemical ranges, and it can damage the brain permanently. A lot of drugs take away the pleasure instinct, the normal things that are supposed to cause pleasure. Food, friends, family, exciting activities, those things don't get you the same height as a dopamine rush of a drug. So one of the things that happens is they have to get more and more of a drug to be able to experience the same amount of emotion or pleasure. And without those substances, they can become depressed, which often leads to the comorbidity between depression and substance abuse, which in my experience has been one of the most common diagnoses that I've dealt with.
Cody Ford, YouthBridge Marketing Director, says substance abuse is an issue in the area. According to the 2009 Arkansas Prevention Needs Survey, nearly 15% of young people surveyed admitted to taking some drug within the last 30 days in Washington County. This was slightly below the state average.
Some of the big drugs of choice, definitely pills, prescription, and over-the-counter. I mean, marijuana is just kind of a staple with teenagers to begin with, and alcohol. But definitely, and even when I go out and talk to counselors at high schools around here, pills are one of the big ones that they always tell me. You've got kids having the fishbowl parties. If you're not familiar with that, maybe your listeners aren't. That is basically kids will come, they'll bring some drugs they take from the medicine cabinet, maybe their grandmothers, their parents or something, and they dump it in a bowl and just grab a few and take them. And that's the sort of thing that's going on around here that people don't know about. And it doesn't, I think maybe, well, I'm not a parent myself, so I can't speak for parents, but I do think there, at times, there's a stigma of they want to look the other way because they want to believe in the best aspects of their child. And those good aspects are there, but they can become clouded, you know, just through peer pressure and things like that, and that can lead to substance abuse. And you know, as studies like this show, that if you don't stop that early on, it can lead to greater things. It's not just school dropouts and teen pregnancy and all that, which are bad things. It can lead to an overall mental illness. So that's why it's really important to get your child in a program and get them counseling.
More information about the organization's prevention and treatment programs is available at youthbridge.com. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Antoinette Grajeda.